Professional Ethics by Juan Manuel Garcia de Alba, Chapter 6, Factors of the Ethical Personality, Introduction. Conscience and freedom are two ethical dynamics that are essential to the human person. In addition, there are other factors that have an impact. People are immersed in the world. Their ethical development, therefore, depends on the way they relate to this world. The human person is a being in the world, in all of her capacities. Indeed, historicity, sexuality, human desires and feelings, innate reactions, and the social and economic dimensions are all inherent factors that determine her personal being. These factors are present in all human actions, to a greater or lesser extent. Objective: to identify the factors that influence people's ethical development and their actions. From the moral perspective, it is important to integrate these factors and take them into account in the process of ethical discernment, in actions, and in the proper configuration of the ethical personality. 6.1. The human person as being in the world. It is impossible to understand human life and action as separate from the world. The human person is simply an abstraction that does not exist until we refer to a specific, concrete person situated in their world. The world people live in, first of all, comprises the specific sphere they belong to, where they grew up, including all the things involved, the people they develop with, the institutions, the knowledge and skills they acquire over time, the values they were raised with, and that constitute the horizon of their actions and self-understanding. The world is, in this sense, the whole range of aspects of life that are not the person in question, but without which this person cannot exist or develop. People are beings in the world because they need to relate their being and activity to a world that will give it meaning and that they have not created. The world people live in is in continuous flux, not just because things happen or because events take place, but because people are constantly integrating new meanings into their life and discarding others. Horizons of understanding expand and enable them to establish new relations. They discover new values that point their life in new directions. Ethical action takes place within this framework. The understanding of the world and the stance that is taken toward it make up the horizon of human decisions and the standard by which they are measured. 6.2 People's Social Reference. The human person is a singular and unique being, but he is inserted in a social reality. His world is also the world of others, and it would not be his world if it were not for the others. This is also true of his inner world. Everything that we have made personally ours, we have assimilated from the social context in which we live. Many of our ideas grow and are shaped in the web of relationships in which we move from the day we are born. We are mutually linked to others, and our being and developing depends on that. Even that which makes us unique was forged in the social fabric and in reference to it. We are a reflection of our forebears, not only in biological terms, but in cultural and ethical terms as well. The social reference is a decisive ethical factor, because the values and codes by which we proceed are systems of preferences that first are instilled in us, and that then we establish as our own options, thus creating our own authentic and independent ethical personality. 6.3 Historicity. People must project their future and act accordingly. They must likewise situate themselves in the present and procure the means to obtain what they want. Consciousness and memory play a key role as a bridge connecting the past, present, and future. Historical consciousness turns the present into a point of continuity and rupture, of ongoing conversion and reorientation. People are not always original subjects. Their accumulated baggage of experiences has a bearing on their actions and development. Moral conscience and ethical criteria are transformed and consolidated over time because people are beings in history. The life of a person is a limited, definite, and concrete time. Death is its natural end. This end gives character to ethical life and enlightens it. It is a reality that people must accept as their proper condition. They must think of the orientation of their acts in the light of the end. 6.4 Sexuality. Sexuality is the concrete mode that the human being has of being a person. This makes it decisive for ethical being. There is a different way of perceiving and living the ethical dimension from the masculine or feminine perspective. We can see that men and women do not perceive values the same way, or evaluate judgments of conscience, or understand and live freedom and responsibility. The way of understanding virtue and putting it into practice is also different, although it cannot be said that one way is better than the other. Men and women live reality from the platform of their respective sexes. This installation is prior to all behavior. It is a type of sensitivity, a manner of apprehending reality that affects knowledge, the way of being free and responsible. Our sexed condition infuses, impregnates, and encompasses our entire life. All reality, eating, understanding a problem, perceiving the world, love and generosity, the experience of danger, is lived from a sexed perspective. Sexuality drives vitality in a significant way, as well as the ability to undertake projects and actions, although they are not determined exclusively by sexuality. The perception of moral values by both men and women is conditioned by the part they play in culture. From this, several consequences can be drawn that are important to ethics. Ethics must bear in mind both the masculine and the feminine way of approaching objectives and judgments. These lead to different ethical behaviors, and as a result, the way of evaluating actions must be different. Women's motivations and purposes are different from men's, even when their activities coincide materially. By not bearing this fundamental difference in mind, men are sometimes left with the impression of women's irrationality. Men do not understand what women are doing because they do not usually see the reason and the purpose of women's actions. If men were to do the same thing, they would do it differently. Ethics, more than in other sciences, calls for complementarity and dialogue. There is a need to reflect on the ethical dimension from a feminine perspective to complement traditionally masculine reflection. This has important implications for ethical teaching and self-study, for communicating values, life projects, and fundamental options. 6.5. Innate reactions. What is specific to ethical behavior is the intervention of intelligence and freedom. It must be pointed out, however, that human beings are endowed with innate patterns of reaction and inherited inclinations that have an impact on their ethical actions. In behavior, all human structures come into play, and even though people are rational, their behavior is not governed exclusively by reason. Carl Jaspers speaks of a basic stock of psychological characters that people have passed down over the thousands of years of their evolution, and that could be said to shape them. Some people think that authenticity is the fundamental ethical criterion. What matters is to be consistent with what you think and feel. But before authenticity is the value of truth, otherwise you could be authentically wrong. Thus, whether we approach the development of the species or that of the individual, we see that people act on the basis of certain patterns that are outside the scope of free decision-making. They have a need to follow innate ways of acting and reacting, as well as conditioned responses that they have acquired consciously or unconsciously, both those that favor and those that hinder their ethical action. People should be aware of their innate patterns of behavior, of their inherited and acquired inclinations, in order to channel them and make use of them. Innate reaction patterns include aggression, anger, altruism, the sense of group and family, the parenting and the filial instincts, the sense of property, the desire for power, the desire to excel, etc. 6-6 feelings. People react effectively to anything that they find relevant or that affects them as a stimulant or as a reality that can meet their needs or that they feel could meet their needs. Moved by their feelings, or sometimes driven by them, people change their perspective on their relationships and their world. Feeling is what we call the agitation of the senses that people experience when confronted with their inner or outer reality. Feelings have a great deal to do with ethical decisions because they very often determine behavior more than reason does. The aim of ethics is to educate one's own inclinations in such a way that there is no contradiction between them and duty. Good people are those who synchronize duty and inclination, i.e., those that happily do the right thing. This is the foundation of the classical notion of virtue as the capacity acquired through constant effort to do the right thing happily, duty and inclination being in harmony. Part of the effort entailed in ethics is educating one's own feelings. To a certain extent, we are responsible for the way we react effectively to reality. We must effectively cultivate our feelings, the bad ones, in order to root them out and channel their force, and the good ones, in order to make them effective and productive. Well-trained affectivity is at the service of people's projects and fulfillment. Distorted affectivity is an obstacle to freedom. Feelings are important in ethical life because through them we apprehend values that contribute to our fulfillment. We identify with what is right when we do it happily, even more so when we discover it intellectually. Correct ethical action takes place not only when people decide guided by an intention and good criteria, but when their reasons arise from good feelings and they identify effectively with the right thing. 6.7. Imagination. Our feelings arouse fantasies and illusions in our imagination, also fears and anxiety. It is important to detect them at their source, to use them for our own good and that of others. Fears and anxiety are obstacles for fulfilling personal and community ethical projects. They generally come from negative experiences that undermine our confidence and make us hesitant about our options. They can become a drag on our decisions and paralyze our effort. Once the source of a fear is recognized, we are in a position to face it and either dispel it or assume it. Imagination is one of the most boundless sources of ethics. It is the resource people use to make life creative. The best projects and the best accomplishments are the result of an imagination tempered by reality. In the face of difficulties and threats, people can always be creative, imagining new and unexpected solutions. Illusion linked to ideals is an essential element for mobilizing our efforts in the pursuit of an ethical project. Without illusion, ethical life is left without light and meaning. Ideals make people ethical. They are what spur them on. 6.8 Economic Dimension. People's relationship with things, the use they make of them, the appropriation and supply of goods and services, the appraisal, exchange, and management of resources all represent a dimension of human life that cannot be ignored. Economics is a part of human life. Decisions are imbued with this dimension. The things we decide to do, the projects we undertake, the freedom to carry them out, the availability of the things with which we make our life, are conditioned to some extent by the economy. Economics shapes the social and political life in which we develop. It is the resource by which people and societies meet their needs of consumption, savings, investment, and development. The economic factor, while not the only one, does play an important role in the history of each person and each community. The ability to procure resources can be a factor that promotes freedom, inasmuch as these resources can help people to develop. But economic ability can also compromise freedom and even make it impossible, either because the resources necessary to undertake certain projects are lacking, or because this economic ability becomes the sole motivation of all decisions. 6.9 Unity and Totality. The human person is essentially a whole, a unit. All the elements that go into him as a personal being are structured unitarily. The psycho-organic components of his reality have a central nucleus, the self. All of physical bodily being refers back to the self, to the consciousness of identity, from which conscious acts arise. The human person has the capacity to take possession of himself, not as fragments, but in oneness. One of the person's most important responsibilities, almost on a par with the preservation of life, is that of protecting the integrity and oneness of her being. This is also one of the human rights. The human person forms a material unit of structure and functions. Oneness is a decisive ethical factor because I must be the one to conduct and integrate all the aspects of my reality and my experience in order to fulfill myself as a person. Plus, Christian reflection. Christian life recognizes the importance of all the factors set forth here for ethical decision-making. It cannot be denied that at different times some of them have been ignored and practically denied. Some Christians came to believe that it was better to live apart from the world, like a hermit, than in the world, that it was better to renounce material things than to produce and consume them. Sexuality and marriage were also regarded with suspicion. The Second Vatican Council served to refocus attention on the Christians' duty to reconquer their own culture, to engage in dialogue, to enrich and be enriched by science, technology, life, and human problems. The message of salvation refers to the person in her wholeness, and her fulfillment takes in all aspects of human life. The prophets, the gospel, and St. Paul insist on the importance of feelings, especially love, in all good action. For reflection, a teenager, I think that the part of me that thinks is always slower. The sentimental part always shows up first. Feeling takes over my whole being. Thinking gets stuck in my mind. It seems like my thoughts are less important than my feelings. Thoughts almost always come later and bring remorse. I get the impression that I only think when I'm facing a problem. Thinking right is hard. Getting swept up in my feelings is easy. People always act with a mixture of lights and shadows, cowardice and sincere effort, constraints and freedom, reasons and feelings that do not always submit to reason. They are righteous and guilty at the same time. Their heart is not coherent. They must be patient with themselves and decide to take the first steps. It is not reasonable to expect to be perfect from the start, when people are subject to the law of growth. Material goods are meant for people. They have their anthropocentric meaning. They are there to help people become more and more human in the way they acquire them, possess them, manage them, relinquish them, are served by them, and serve with them. Activities. Analyze the way each one of the factors discussed in this chapter has an impact on your present life. A. How have they had an impact? And how are they having an impact now on your life, your decisions, your being in the world, your social references, your relationship with others, your sexuality, your feelings, your personal history, the environment in which you are developing, and your economic dimension? B. How do you think you could integrate them to give your life greater unity and coherence? What could you do to better integrate each one of these factors? How could you take them more into account in order to make freer decisions? Think of an important situation in which a decision has been conditioned by the factors mentioned here and describe it. In groups, discuss the following summary. People are unique and integrated beings, but situated in a social reality. By living with others, they are beings in the world, because they need to relate their being and their activity to a world of meaning and value that they have not created. People share their values, which are decisive for the formation of each person's ethical personality. Given that they are historical beings, their conscience and their ethical criteria change over time. There are different ways to perceive the ethical dimension from a masculine and feminine viewpoint. This is why sexuality is a key ethical factor. People act according to certain psychobiological features that are partially beyond the scope of their free decision-making. Ethical subjects must be aware of their innate patterns in order to make use of them and channel them. Behavior is often determined more by feelings than by reason. People need to educate their affectivity so that it contributes to their project and their fulfillment. For its part, the imagination is one of the richest sources of ethics. The imagination projects the ideals that drive ethical life. Finally, the economic dimension constitutes an important ethical factor because it conditions life and, for many, becomes an overriding objective. True or false, sincerity demands that we exclusively follow our feelings. All else is hypocrisy. True, false. People who live honestly and fairly are better prepared to think honestly and fairly. False. The exercise of virtue demands that we learn to overcome our feelings. True, false. People are the way they are and should not aspire to be otherwise. True, false. It is a misfortune to depend so much on others. Happiness is being able to do without them. True, false. The first and foremost purpose of our sexuality is to shape our identity and our personal being. True. Men and women are different and complementary. Neither one is better than the other in terms of human values. True, false. Imagination and ideals are necessary for transforming the world, society, and people. True, false. The environment absolutely determines human behavior. False. Socioeconomic level absolutely determines human behavior. True, false. Genes determine people's behavior to a relative degree, but not exclusively. True, false. Freedom absolutely determines people's lives. False. Bibliography: Arnold Wilhelm, Persona, Caracter y Personalidad, Ed Herder, Barcelona, 1975. From a psychological viewpoint, special attention is paid to the conscience, and features of language are examined. The problem of education and formation are highlighted. Cela Camilo de Gines, Dioses y Tiranos, Alianza Madrid 85. This book contains an important study of how biological factors determine human behavior. Marias Julian, Antropología Metafísica, Revista de Occidente, Madrid, 1968. This book looks descriptively and systematically at different characteristics of the human person. Of particular interest are the chapters on the bodily and sex dimensions. Guitton, Jean, Historia y Destino, Real, Madrid, 1967. In this book, the author makes a profound reflection on the historical dimension of the human person. Lorenz Conrad, Conducta Humana y Animal, Conacyt, Mexico City, 1985. The study of human behavior as compared to animal behavior sheds important light on the weight that innate reactions have on human life and moral behavior. Questions. Why is it said that the human person is a being in the world? Because human life and actions cannot be understood in isolation from the world. People need to relate their being and their activity to a world of meaning and value that they have not created. Why is the historicity of the human person so important for ethics? Because the conscience and ethical criteria are transformed and consolidated over time. Why is sexuality a decisive ethical determinant? Because it is a type of sensitivity, a way of apprehending reality that affects consciousness as a whole. A way of being free and responsible. What important consequences are derived from the way of perceiving and living the ethical dimension from the masculine or feminine standpoint? A. Different ethical behavior. B. A different way of assessing actions in practice. C. The need for complementarity and dialogue between men and women. Why are feelings important for ethic? Because it is through them that people apprehend and appropriate values that contribute to their fulfillment, and because their feelings give rise to many decisions and attitudes. Why does the economic dimension determine the person as an ethical being? Because it is the means by which people and societies meet their needs and provide services, and because human action can be frustrated by the abundance or lack of resources. Why do we say that the human person is a being in the world? Because she needs to relate her being and her activity to a world of meaning and value that she has not created. Why is the social reference a decisive ethical factor? Because the values and codes on which we act are systems of preferences that are first instilled in us and that later we establish through our own options, thereby creating a unique, authentic, and independent ethical personality. What role does historical consciousness play with respect to the present? Historical consciousness makes the present a point of continuity and rupture, of continual conversion and reorientation. People are not always original subjects. They act and develop in accordance with accumulated baggage of experience. Why do innate reactions have an ethical character? Because people can be aware of them, of their inherited and acquired inclinations, in order to channel them and make use of them. What is the role of ideals in ethical life? Ideals mobilize all our efforts in the pursuit of an ethical project. Without an illusion, ethical life lacks light and meaning. Why are ideals part of the ethical being? Because people are beings in progress, and the destination determines the road they walk down every day.